Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You don't want no scrub. Scrub is a thing that'll get your apartment clean.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on ACAST. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else really to joliecare@gmail.com. Back in the studio with me today is my partner in grime, Dave Lozo, and thank God for that. Hey, Dave.
I hope you got a taste of what it would be like without me.
I did, and it was
lonely,
terrible.
Sadness.
It was all of those things. It was very lonely. It was a little bit sad. It was definitely awkward. It was just weird. It was weird to sit here and just talk to myself.
You're like Mike Francesa on the radio.
You're
just talking to the microphone for 45 minutes and repeat yourself six times. Boom. You got a hit show.
Exactly. So here's the thing about it. Well, first of all, I was nervous about how it was going to come out.
That's what she said.
God.
See, I'm back.
He's already back.
I'm so happy.
I'm so happy. I will say it did turn out fine. So I listened to it back because I always listen back to all of the episodes. It's excruciating, but I do it. It did turn out fine. I got a number of really, really nice emails from people being like, you did fine. It was great. Like, let's say okay. So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But the experience of it was, frankly, just not that much fun. It wasn't that much fun. And I did repeat myself a couple of times. There were some points where I rambled. Our brilliant engineer and editor, Tim, took out some of the rambles for me. but the other thing that happened was that I think I was so nervous about filling 45 minutes without you to talk to or anyone to talk to that I padded the episode too much, and it actually ended up running long.
Yeah, I saw it was like an hour and 48 minutes.
It was not an hour and 48 minutes. It was 55 minutes, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's not a radio program that's confined by actual, you know, strict time constraints.
Right, and at some point, if you want to take off, and I'll just come in here and handle it one week and just really...
Yes, we should do that.
Let the people...
I did actually just book a vacation to L.A., so maybe...
When are you going?
I'm going over President's Day weekend.
When is that? February?
I'm leaving...
January?
February 16th, and I come back on the 21st. I'm going for Thursday through Tuesday.
Okay, so...
So L.A. Franz.
Right, so write in...
If you haven't heard from me, it means I don't want to see you because I've already contacted all the people. No, I'm just kidding. If you're in L.A. and you want to have a hang, give me a shout. I'll be around.
And I'll just hold the fort down. And email questions. It's going to be about Valentine's Day cleanup.
We do actually have... No, it will not be because we already you don't know this yet, but we do have a Valentine's Day themed episode and we have a special guest coming in. And it's going to be amazing.
Who is
it's
it?
It's Maureen O'Connor.
Oh, the
Yes.
She was just on Erin Gloria Ryan's podcast last week where she was talking, but it wasn't as graphic as the story that you've told.
Probably
or she
not.
Told on your show, but she's all about
she's great.
She's all about the sex.
Yeah, she is. She's gonna come back for a Valentine's Day episode and we'll have lots of fun with that. Okay. So anyway, that's enough about the solo episode. The point is that I survived, but I'm glad to have you back, Dave. I did miss you. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, to you too.
Thank you.
I share the sentiment.
We also have a couple of little Happy New Years to say to our patrons before we get into the meat of the episode.
Hey.
And we should also remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages we're offering and select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps us so much, and we would love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like us to consider making available. We should also note that when we hit $250 a month, Dave is going to yodel in celebration, and we are less than $100 away from that milestone.
Now, in my defense, can I interpret that as eating a box of yodels during the show as opposed
yes.
to actually yodeling?
You can.
Okay.
You can, but you cannot do it in January because that's mean to Jolie to eat a whole box of yodels in front of me because I'm doing a whole 30, which when we do the bonus episode today, I'm like going to explain
like a cleanse type
what
thing?
That is and why I'm doing it.
See, I was going to do that for January, but then I realized February is like a couple days shorter.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. That is very true. We'll talk about that in the bonus episode. Okay, but we have some new patrons to thank. So we would like to say thank you to Caroline Delaney.
Caroline Delaney.
To Nancy.
Just Nancy?
Just Nancy.
Nancy Taylor.
Just Nance.
From Groundhog Day.
Good old Nance.
Remember Nancy Taylor?
And finally, we have a male patron, Matt Ropel. Or Ropel.
Matt Ropel.
Ropel. Is he one of yours?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay.
Matt Ropel down a building, like he's a SWAT guy.
Yes. And then we had last episode, I said that there was one more patron that we had to thank, but that I was waiting for Dave to come back so that we could do a joint thank you together, because we have a huge thank you for Amanda Kruger, who is sponsoring us at the $69 level.
The nicest level.
There you go. Thank you, Dave. I knew you were going to do that.
It's a nice level.
So one of the packages that we offer is called the Dave Special. And for
$69, so I'll take my pants off right now.
$69.
What?
You can
is that
get
not what it is.
You can get access to Dave, basically.
That sounds so sad to the person on the other end.
No, but actually, Amanda said, you know, of course, I wrote to her when we got the subscription, and I was like, hey, you know, you can ask questions, and Dave will read them in voices, or like he'll write you some poetry or whatever. And she was like, honestly, I don't want any of that. She was like, I just love the show, and I thought it was so funny that you guys had this like level that was $69, and I just had to do it. So Amanda, thank you so much. I got the notification about it when I was at the gym, and I like took a screenshot and I texted Dave I was so excited I couldn't even wait. I texted Dave from the treadmill, and he and I had like a big old freak out that someone was being such a generous sponsor. So thank you, Amanda. We really appreciate it, and it's been fun corresponding with you for the past couple of weeks that we've been chatting over email. Anyway, let us move on. We have a thematic episode for this week. Next week, we're going to do one of those grab bags.
Always good to grab the bag.
Yeah, love the grab bag. Only because I feel like for the past 6 weeks or so, it's been really, really thematic in terms of like a place and time. We've done a lot of holiday stuff, and then I did like New Year, New You last week, and this week we're going to talk all about floors for reasons that I'm going to get into in a second. So I thought the grab bag would shake things up a little bit.
Right. The floors make sense because when Donald Trump's inaugurated, you're going to vomit on your floor, cry on your floor, maybe even bleed a little bit.
Maybe.
So how do you clean that up?
Maybe. Listen, I'm trying to make the best of this world that we live in. So no, I'm not going to get down on my floor and cry and vomit. I'm going to keep on with my life.
There you go.
Okay, so let me talk to you a little bit about the thing with the floors. Floor cleaning, not the sexiest topic.
Well, it depends on what you're wearing while you're down there. I mean, you know, if you got like a tight little thing on.
That could be. Yeah, you could make it sexy.
Anything can be sexy.
Anything
can
be sexy. Yeah, this is true. But here's the thing about it. It's a topic that people ask me about all the time.
Everyone's got floors.
Everyone's got floors. And cleaning the floors is just a bear of a chore, kind of no matter which way you cut it. And there are all different flooring types, and it can get confusing, and there are all these rules about like, don't use this on wood, but do use this on tile, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm gonna try to break some of that down today. Here's the other thing. I'm so grateful that I have this show, because I'm now at a point where the places where my regular columns are running are not gonna let me write about washing the floor.
Why? Don't they know who you are?
They do know who I am, but they also know who they are. And, you know, unfortunately, I have a lot of editorial freedom at Esquire, in terms of them not editing my voice and letting me be Jolie and blah, blah, blah. But it is, I'm a little bit more hemmed in on the topics I can cover. So like the like kitchen stuff, floor stuff, that kind of stuff, it just doesn't do well. And my editor can't kind of like just be like, yeah, just we'll take the L on that column. Like we can't do it. Whereas like at Deadspin, they were willing to take an L on anything because it was just a different editorial ethos that like for them, they felt like, Jolie, if you write a post about pit stains and it does 500,000 page views, I still say page views because I'm an old person. I know I'm not supposed to say concurrent or whatever. But you know what I mean when I say that. They're like, that makes up for the fact that if 1 week you want to write this like esoteric post about cleaning a sooty fireplace, which I did, and, you know, 10 people read it, we're okay with that because you brought in 500,000 people to read about pit stains. So, like,
exactly.
it was just a different editorial ethos there. And it's that's also okay. Like,
all right.
Like, Esquire's big media, you know? And I have the show where I can talk about all of that other stuff. So that's what we're going to do today.
Let's do it.
All right. So here's the thing. Today's show, we're going to focus mostly on, well, first we've got a disaster story, which I'm very excited about. But then we're going to focus mostly on tile. I'm going to owe you guys other shows on this topic. So don't fret if I don't get to your floor cleaning question. Just shoot me an email, say like, hey, could you cover this on the podcast? And we'll do a few more floor cleaning episodes throughout this year. Okay, on that note, let us start with our question. I started with a disaster question.
It is a disaster because based on the phrasing of this, I thought her mom was hurt in the accident the way it starts. But it's not. Just know that off the bat. Okay, Sarah writes, over the holidays, my mother dropped and broke a glass bottle of olive oil. So the olive oil bottle fell, not the mom.
Oh, you thought the mom, dropped and rolled?
It says, over the holidays, my mother dropped. I'm like, oh my God, is she okay? There was bone and everything everywhere. It was horrible. Broken glass and about a quart of olive oil went all over the kitchen.
Oh God.
This was a puzzler because I would usually pick up the worst of the glass before trying to clean up the spill, but with the olive oil making the kitchen tile slippery, we couldn't get to a lot of it. I ended up sweeping up the glass despite the oil and throwing out the broom. Then I mopped with hot water and dish soap, then went over... Actually, the olive oil is probably a nice smell to have in your apartment. It's the worst thing to have there.
No, it's not bad. Yeah.
Then I mopped up with hot water and dish soap, then went over the tile with a glass cleaner and a rag to clean up the last of the oil residue. What would you have done? Is there a capital clean, capital person trick that I didn't think of? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I think that what Sarah did was pretty good.
I would have moved out. The second I drop a glass thing in my kitchen, that's it. I'm looking for a new place because you're going to step in it 6 months later and you're going to be super mad and you're just going to wish you had moved anyway. So
no, don't move out of the house. Listen, I do think what Sarah did was pretty good. Well, look, it worked. She cleaned up the mess. She lost a broom. But, I mean, brooms are pretty easy to replace. And, frankly, they're probably one of those things that we're not replacing often enough.
Yeah, you know, I've had the same broom for like 8 years.
Like if you stop and think about it for a second, you're like, when did I buy that broom?
Why didn't mom clean this up, by the way? She thinks she is coming over to this person's place, dropping the bottle, and you clean it up. Sorry, guys. I'm just saying.
I mean, listen, mothers and daughters are a whole other show. we don't want to get into that. Okay, so here's the thing. I do think she did. I think that was a great approach. But there is a trick. It's a weird one. And it's in my book. And I should say, shameless plug time for the book. If you're having floor cleaning woes and you're looking online for my columns on the subject, there are floor cleaning columns on the subject, but the best thing to do is actually to go buy the book because there's something like 13 pages about floor care, and it goes into like every different kind of floor: wood floor, tile floor, laminate floor, blah blah blah, natural stone, what to use, what not to use, all that kind of stuff. So that's a great resource, but also you can find columns for free online, or you can email me. So here's the trick, and it's in the book. The trick for picking up glass is to use sliced bread. Sliced bread.
What?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It works because it's sort of like porous, But it's thick enough to protect your hands that it will pick up shards of glass.
So I'm guessing you lightly dab. You don't like, you know what I mean? Like you don't like clean like you would if it was like a washcloth because it's going to go through the bread.
I mean, you can, yeah. I mean, you right. can kind of do a circular motion to pick up. Be gentle. Don't press down so hard.
Right.
Yeah, because if you press down and a shard goes through.
Don't want us to get sued here is all I'm saying.
No, don't get sued. So, yeah, use bread. And the thing is about using bread in this particular scenario is that it would also absorb a lot of the oil. And it would solve the issue of, like, what do we use to pick this up that then wouldn't have to be thrown out because it's going to be covered in oil. So that's the trick. There's a similar trick. I don't think in this situation it would be the best. I think the bread is better than this one. But similarly, you can use a potato, like cut side of a potato. That will also work for shards. Yep, weird things. So if this were me, so Sarah asked, like, what, you know, WWJD, what would Jolie do?
Of course.
And so here's what I would do. I would get the sliced bread and I would pick up as much of the shards and oil as I could using the bread. I would wear gloves while I was doing that just out of an abundance of caution. Now, like, rubber cleaning gloves are okay, but ideally if you have something thicker, like a work glove, like a gardening glove, or that something that's going to be a little bit more protective in case a shard does poke through, I would wear gloves. And then after I got up most of the shards with the bread, I would probably grab paper towels or newspapers and use those to sop up as much of the oil. Again, using the gloves to ensure that if there are any shards still lingering, you've still got a layer of protection for your hands. And then once I got up as much of the oil and the shards as I could, I would then mop using ammonia solution. So they use dish soap, which is good. But when you're talking about that much oil, you may want a stronger product. If you object to the use of ammonia, that's fine. The dish soap will work. One thing to do there. So there are two different kinds of ammonia that you can get. You can get straight ammonia or you can get what's called sudsy ammonia.
Sudsy.
And sudsy ammonia is essentially just sudsy ammonia that has dish soap, basically dish soap in it. So you can make your own by adding dish soap to ammonia. You always want to dilute ammonia in water. The way to do that is to fill whatever receptacle you're using for the solution with the water first and then add the ammonia. Oftentimes people think, oh, I put the ammonia in first and then dilute it with the water. You don't want to do that because it's like it creates like a fume and a splash back problem. you know, remember, the ammonia is like a fairly serious chemical.
Right.
So you want to use caution when you work with it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't work with it. You just want to use caution. One of the other things you need to do with ammonia that's really important is open the windows because it does create fumes. And you will get high. Now, I like the smell of ammonia, but I still open the windows because it's like it's an important health thing.
Yeah.
You should also always wear gloves with ammonia. Always wear gloves, right? Because you don't really want it coming in contact with your hands for that like extended period of time. And of course, the most important rule of ammonia. Do you know the ammonia rule yet? Have I said it enough on this show with you? I don't think I think I've said it only once.
Right. It's ammonia first, then you eat. Then you'll never be sick from the amount. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
That's not the ammonia rule.
A before M.
No, the ammonia rule is that you never mix ammonia with bleach. You would never think to mix them?
I mean,
a lot of people just think that, like, the more cleaning products, the better.
I feel like that's how you make meth.
It's pretty close, actually.
Yeah,
it's how you make mustard gas. Oh. So it is really, really important.
Pro tip, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, now I'm a little bit worried about the information I'm spreading on this podcast. Don't make any jokes. Don't make any jokes. Don't get the government after me.
No.
Okay, so here's the thing. You have to be super careful. The chemical reaction between bleach and ammonia, and this includes products that contain bleach, So check your ingredient list. Don't go willy-nilly mixing cleaning products is a general life rule.
Now I want to do it because you told me I shouldn't do it.
Yeah, but the combination of the two will create, essentially, it will create fumes, gases, and that's mustard gas. So you can literally die from that. So really, don't fool around with it. Okay, so that is my spiel on what Jolie would have done. Sarah, I'm sorry. That is a wicked bummer that happened.
But
I would also say that I never buy glass bottles of olive oil for exactly that reason.
But I was going to say a pro tip from Dave. Once you've sopped up the olive oil in the glass with the bread, pick the glass out of the bread and eat it. It's delicious.
Don't do that.
Pick the glass out. You don't want to waste that bread and olive oil.
Don't.
Just saying. Consider it.
Do it. Let's move on to our next question.
Oh, the next question. Hi, Eleanor. What do you have to say to us? Oh, well, I have been very neglectful of the floors of my new house. The old place was wood and linoleum. The new place is laminate and tile. And tried to get in the swing of things with your handsies and kneesies techniques. Handsies. it's awfully close to something else. That SNR is saving it. I read your old guide on the hairpin, and you recommended, quote, pouring cleaning solution and letting it sit for tile. And despite my best efforts, I ended up spattering cleaning solution all over the kitchen cabinets, creating a giant puddle that had to be soaked up with a towel and somehow still leaving some very visibly dirty spots bone dry. Can you give any tactical advice about what you meant by, quote, pour? That's like the pours in quotes.
Yeah.
Pour? I've got to get to the bathrooms and entryway at some point.
Okay.
Jolie to explain tile cleaning.
You're not supposed to read that part in our show notes. That's what's
break
going
outro. This is. I thought she wasn't. Well, she didn't really sign off and say thanks or anything, so I thought maybe that was her.
Okay. That isn't great, Eleanor, didn't say thanks.
Just gimme, Eleanor says.
No. Okay, so I'm gonna explain this. We're gonna take a break before I get into it because this is about break time. But first, I want to say this is actually why I think it's so helpful to have the podcast as a companion to the written stuff, because a lot of times, look, I know I was very clear in the Hairpin post, and I know I was very clear in my book, especially in my book, because I have an editor who, you know, was like reading everything for clarity and asking questions and blah blah blah. But it's still. The written word is still open to interpretation, and there's actually a detail that Eleanor just missed in the description, and so I'm glad that we have the show because I can explain it in words, and if I'm not making sense, Dave is here to be like, Jolie, that doesn't make any sense. So before I get into it, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. And then Dave and I will be right back to answer Eleanor's question and talk a little bit more about ways to clean the floors. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas, absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. We've been talking about your floors.
We've been mopping the floors with you. Yeah.
That was good. You know what one of my favorite things in sports is?
In basketball and they smack the floor?
No, in basketball when the little mop boys come out.
Oh.
Remember there was the one who did the little dance and... Do you remember that? It was either last year or the year before. It was like a mop boy. I forget, there was some performer, maybe Ariana Grande or someone, and the mop boy came out and did a little dance with her. And then it turned out that it was all planned.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff is always. Anything you see in arena that's cool, with those proposals that are where the girl turns him down or whatever.
Oh, Dave, I love a stadium proposal. I love a Jumbotown proposal.
Have you seen the fake ones?
I am no, and so I don't want to have my hope crushed.
No, but actually it's not proposals. It's a guy kisses a girl, guy kisses a girl. And then they cut to one where it's a super hot girl and this kind of mediocre guy. And every time you see that, it's this stage thing where he tries to kiss her and she's and then she pours a soda on his head and everyone's oh my God. It's always actors. It's always people from an improv troupe or something. Every time, it's just the Mets do it.
Don't ruin the stadium proposal.
But the proposals. I'm team proposal as well. People that get mad about that drive me nuts.
Yeah, me too. All right, well,
another show.
That's a good bonus episode rant. We should remember that. All right, well, we got to talk about floor. So we got a lot of floor cleaning stuff to go to.
All right.
Okay, so let me explain. To Eleanor and to all of you, I'm actually going to back up a little bit because Eleanor is one step ahead, having read the post on the hairpin. So let me talk to you. This is specifically for tile. It's excellent for getting grout clean because cleaning grout is just a total pain in the butt. I will also mention that one of my former colleagues emailed me one day. This is a couple years ago, he slacked me. And he was like, "You are my wife's favorite person in the world." And I was like, "Oh, whatever have I done?" And they had gotten a copy of my book, and she had used this technique on their tile. They have a lot of tile floor. They live in Florida. And she had used this technique, and apparently it was the first time that the floors ever were up to her cleanliness standards, and it was so easy for her, and she was just beside herself, and she was so excited. So here's what the technique is. You're going to use oxygen bleach, oxygenated bleach. So you can use powdered OxyClean, or you can use any one of the other many, many powdered oxygen bleach products that are on the market. There are 30 different brands that make this. So, and any one of them is fine. And you're going to make a solution out of that by diluting it in warm to hot water. You do need to use the warm to hot water just to dilute the powder. It's not for any other reason other than just for efficacy of dilution.
Ooh,
yeah, that was good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just pulled that one right out.
That's the name of our
that wasn't podcast. Even in my notes. Yeah.
Welcome to the efficacy of dilution.
Yeah, that would be a good for something.
It's a bad name, maybe.
When you have your 17th podcast, you can use that name, Dave. Okay, so you're gonna mix the solution. Basically, use one to two big scoops to a gallon of water. This is not you don't need to be overly precious about the ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are going to pour it on the floor. But here is what I mean when I say pour it on the floor. You're going to work in sections, okay? And it is important. Actually, it's crucial.
Crucial.
With this particular technique, to work from the back corner of the room towards the door. Because when you finish, you will not be able to walk across the floor.
Right.
Okay. So starting in the farthest corner and working in sections, you're going to pour the solution in kind of an S-shape formation, okay? Don't flood the floor. Use good judgment. Then you're going to take a scrub brush. So here are the tools that you need for this operation. You need oxygenated bleach. You need water. You need a bucket in which to mix up that solution. You need a scrub brush. And you need a rag or a sponge. So that's all. This is not high tech at all. Okay, so we work in section. You pour your solution on in an S shape. And then you're going to take your scrub brush and you're going to do a very quick, pass.
Of course.
And during that pass, what you're going to do is you're going to put the brush down in the solution and you're going to spread the solution out in so that it covers that whole section you're working on. And then you're going to move to the next section. You pour in an S shape. Work it out. When I say scrub, this is not a heavy-duty scrub. This is a very quick because basically all that you're doing is spreading the solution and doing a little quick working in to the grout with the scrub brush, but you're not doing a full scrub. You should not be sweating, okay? And your arm and your arm should not hurt. This is not a heavy duty elbow grease scrub the floor operation.
But you have to scrub, so you don't want no scrub. Scrub is a thing that'll get your apartment clean.
The woman who wrote that song is one of the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Your favorite.
Wait,
Dave.
Is she?
Yes, she is. Today we're recording two episodes, and so we're doing two different bonus episodes, and one of them we're going to talk more about Bravo. So get excited for that. This is Dave's favorite thing in the world. I'm going to talk to you about Candy Burress. Yes. Okay. So then do that for all of the sections, working out towards the door, and then walk away. So by this point, your floor should be quite wet, but not flooded.
Sure.
Don't flood the house. Yeah, right. Use good judgment. But it should be quite wet, like that no one would want to walk across it. And so then you leave the room because you can't walk across it because it's quite wet.
Okay.
And leave it for 20 to 30 minutes.
Is it still wet when you get back in there?
It's still going to be pretty wet when you get back in there. But here's why you're leaving it. You're letting the product do the work for you.
Okay.
Okay. So if you just immediately put the solution down and started scrubbing, you would be scrubbing for 20 to 30 minutes. You don't need to do that. And actually, it's less effective than it is to just walk away, let the solution sit on the tile and the grout for 20 to 30 minutes. After that time is up, you're going to go back in again. Now you're going to have your scrub brush and you're going to have a dry rag or a sponge. A rag is probably the easiest thing to do just because you can cover a lot more area. And if it's quite a large expanse, you may need more than one rag. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in and you're going to work in the opposite direction. So starting at the doorway, you are going to take your scrub brush. And here's where you are going to do a heavy duty scrub. Now, don't knock yourself out with this because the product has done a lot of the work for you, but get in there and give it a good, like, get all that grout,
right?
You know, with your ch-ch-ch-ch. And then again, you're working in sections here. As you go through with your scrub brush and you're doing your ch-ch-ch, then go over the area with your dry rag and dry it off, and that's going to get the water up.
Okay.
And then you keep working towards the back of the room. By the time that you're at the back, your floor is going to have been given a fairly good scrub with the brush. It's going to be dried and you'll be good to go. Now, here's the thing. You're going to look at it and you're going to go, but this doesn't look quite as good as I thought it would. The grout needs to dry. So wet grout will darken just by dint of the water darkening the grout. And wet grout will look dingy. But when it dries,
Okay. So
when it dries, you might actually cry.
So to recap.
Yes.
Don't do anything while it's dry. Get it wet. After you get it wet, let it stay wet for a while.
Yes.
And then after it's to the perfect wetness, you go back in there and you work on it. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds right.
What you're implying is yes, incorrect.
That sounds
indeed.
Correct.
It's just like sex. Cleaning the floor is just like sex.
Whoa, I wasn't saying that at all. What kind of a sick mind do you have? I was just trying to recap it in bullet points. Jesus. There are kids listening to this.
Okay. Oh, God.
Probably not.
No. Okay. So it's pretty easy, but I also can totally understand how, you know, sort of reading this on a website and in a rather long column that the actual process, the specifics of the process can be a little bit confusing. So there you go. I hope, Eleanor, that was helpful for you. I hope that was helpful for everybody else listening. I will say I do hear from people often who have tried this and rave reviews for the technique. So listen, before we wrap this baby up for the day, I want to talk about some general floor cleaning stuff.
Okay.
And we're gonna owe you episodes on hardwoods, and we got to do a whole nother vacuum episode, and we got a lot to talk about when it comes to your floors. So remember, send your questions joliecare@gmail.com or tweet them at me @joliecare on Twitter. And we'll get to some specifics, but here are some general things. So let's talk about mops. Let's talk about mops.
Let's talk about mops, baby. Let's talk about wringing them out.
I don't love mops.
I'm not a really huge fan or detractor. They're okay.
Yeah. So there are times and situations in which a mop is necessary. And if you like a mop, stick with the mop. I don't like a mop for two reasons. One, I find mopping, the act of mopping, to be incredibly uncomfortable and awkward. And I just don't like it. I just don't. It just doesn't feel like.
I feel like the mop gets dirty too quickly.
Then there's the issue of the filth factor. Yeah. First of all, you have to change your mop water frequently. Otherwise, you're just mopping your floors with dirty water.
It's like taking a bath. Like, it's gross. You're just kind of simmering in your own filth with a mop. You're just dipping it into different kind of filth and running it all over your floors.
Yeah, and then you have to dump the mop water, and that's a whole gross thing. And then the mop head has to be cleaned, and that's a whole gross thing.
Swiffer.
No Swiffers.
What do you mean no Swiffers? You don't like Swiffers?
No, I don't like Swiffers. No. You know I don't like Swiffers. Swiffers are furries. I don't like them. Okay, so I don't love mops, and I especially do not love those like training wheel mops like Swiffers, because I feel like the problem of a regular mop is not solved by the Swiffer mop, and the Swiffer mop actually isn't even that good, and then on top of it, it's expensive and wasteful, and I just don't like them. I sort of have this other thing that I think that those products, I call them like the shortcut products. I think they engender lazy cleaning.
Hells yeah.
But here's what I mean by lazy cleaning. It's like you buy one and then you don't use it often enough. And I don't know. I just don't like them. I've done a whole episode on why I hate Swiffer. So if you guys are really intrigued by my disdain, you can go find it. the episode title is Stop Swiffering. So it's pretty easy to find that one. Okay, let me also talk about steam mops. Steam mops. Oh, God, I have such feelings about them. Here's the thing about steam mops. I talked to the people at the Sweet Home last year. They were doing a guide to steam mops. You should check that out if you're curious about steam mops and if they're right for you. Read that guide, because it's a very thoughtful analysis of the steam mop as a product, and then about specific steam mops and how good they are. So I worked with Kevin Purdy, who works at the Sweet Home. I talked to him just as an expert, just to give my opinion about steam mops in general. And the first thing that I said to him was, I want steam mops to be magic, and they just aren't. And when I said that to him, he gasped, and he said, Jolie, you have just said exactly the perfect thing about steam mops. That is exactly the problem, is that we want them to create this miracle of cleaning, in which, you know, just mere hot water and the right scrubbing pad is all you need to have, you know, brightly shining floors. Here's the thing. I've used steam mops. I've tested them for product testing, and I just did a product test on a steam mop literally last week. I turned in my product testing notes on January 2nd. So I just finished going through one of these routines. And I can tell you, they're just not magic. And
that's a high bar to set, though, just because it's not magic.
Like, but here's the thing. If
I'm
you're going to, if,
I mean,
but, whoa, you, but also, but you have to let me finish this whole spiel, because I do, I'm like working up to a point. Here's the thing about the steam mops. First of all, they're not magic. They are awkward to use. So the one that I tested this year was an upgrade model to one that I tested last year. The last model was the Shark Pocket. And this year's model is called the Shark Genius. The Shark Genius actually was more awkward to use than the first model I tested. But it was very awkward. The cord was tangled all around. It didn't glide across the floor. I constantly had to be refilling the chamber. It was very hot. The steam is coming up towards your face.
That sounds great.
So, yeah, I guess I got a little facial out of it, but... you know, they're just not that great. The pad is gross. You have to touch the dirt. Even though the Shark Genius, in theory, you are not supposed to have to touch the pad. You always do. It's the same thing as the mop head. You have to launder it. They're also not very good for a lot of floor types. They're particularly should not be used on wood floors because they can cause warping and splitting and buckling of the floorboards. They're also not inexpensive. So I think I looked up the list price for the Shark Genius that I tested.
Let me guess.
Okay.
$49.99.
No. It was like $149.99. It was about $130.
Wow.
Yeah, it was expensive. Which leads me into the next thing, the next sort of line of mops that I want to talk about, which are robot mops.
Oh, those sound awesome.
Okay. Now here I'm gonna tell you, I have an iRobot Brava Jet, which is a robot mop. It was introduced by iRobot. iRobot is the company that makes the Roomba.
It's just going to say it's like a vacuum cleaner, but just for mopping. Basically.
But it's a mop, right. Yeah. It doesn't vacuum. It only mops, but it's from the same company that makes the Roomba. So in the name of disclosure, last year I got to see a press preview of the product. That a lot of other people didn't get to see because the iRobot people trust me. And so that was kind of nice and flattering that they like trusted me with the embargo and like actually, but they like brought me into their office in New York and they let me play with it and they like let me spill stuff all over the place.
Awesome,
and,
awesome.
And it was really fun and it was a very cool product and I was really excited about it. So it was launched in the spring. They sent me a press model. So I have one that was given to me gratis by iRobot, which I want to say in the name of disclosure, because I'm going to say some good things about it and I want you to know that it was a freebie, but they didn't pay me to say any of this. So here is the thing that I love the most about the iRobot mop, the Brava, is the price point. Even though I didn't pay for it, I love the price point. Here's why, because I would have paid for it. It's $199.
Oh wow, I wasn't going to guess that.
So for what, $70 more than the steam mop that you have to plug in and push around and change the pads and change the water and get hot and sweaty because there's steam all over the place and that doesn't actually work that well, and then you have to touch the gross, dirty pad and launder it, why wouldn't you just get the robot that does it for you? You push a button and it goes.
But it works really well?
It works. It doesn't work really well. But neither does the steam mop.
Neither does me.
Neither does you.
Right. Why should I set the bar higher for a robot than
right.
I do for myself?
So here's the thing. It does not take the place of the thing that I'm about to talk about next, which many of you are just not going to do, and that is okay. That is really okay. It is a machine that is best used frequently in order to have truly clean floors. But it does work. I mean, it does get the floors clean, for sure. And it's very easy to use because you push a button and it goes and it does it for you. And I'm willing to say it's good enough.
Okay.
And I mean, look, I'm a stickler about my floors. So if I'm willing to say it's good enough just because of the ease of use, that's a lot. Here's the best thing. The best way to get the floors clean, and it is not actually as bad as it sounds. It's going to sound bad. Dave, you're going to go nuts when you hear this. You're going to be like, absolutely not. There's no way.
Let's see.
Which is what everybody says, and then they try it. The actual best way to clean the floor is to just get down on your damn hands and knees and clean the floor on your hands and knees.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for not going in on me
on that one. No, because like it's true, though, because like there's corners and there's all these stuff. You have to
exactly.
Like really put some elbow grease in this sometimes. So,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know what? It actually, I have to say, so the first time someone suggested to me, and this is in my book, like I talk about how I was like, absolutely not. I'm not getting down my hands and knees and cleaning my floor. Are you crazy? My best friend is the one who started this. And you guys, I'm going to visit, when I was talking about the LA trip, I'm going to visit my best friend. That's what the LA trip is in honor of. I bought him, at his request, for his wedding present, I bought him a carpet cleaning machine. And so when I'm out there, he has all of these machines now. And so when we're out there, we're going to like play with this carpet cleaning machine and take video and stuff. So you can all look forward to that. Okay. So anyway, Matt is Matt's the one who got me into the hands and knees. And I was like, you got to be out of your mind. I'm not going to do that. And then I tried it. And I was like, first of all, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It actually didn't take that much more time than mopping. And it actually didn't take that much more effort either. It was just a different kind of effort. So that's the one thing I'll say about the hands and knees. The other things I'm going to say about the hands and knees is that it truly is the best way to get the floor clean. And I hear from people all the time. My favorite thing is when people tweet at me about their first. So handsies and kneesies, which what as Eleanor said, that's my term. So that's like I started using that term at the Hairpin. And that's in the book, and it's like carried on. And so people tweet at me, and they're like, finally tried at Julie Kerr's handsies and kneesies techniques, and God damn it, she was right. Like, they're always so peevish with me about the fact that it's so good because you don't want to have to get that on your hands and knees. But then the first time you do it, you realize, like, oh, this is better. And actually, also, it's not all that horrible. Mm-hmm. So, but with that said, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, like, there's no way I'm ever going to do it, no problem. That's why I go through all of the other options that are out there, because I get it. I totally get it. Okay, so listen, before we wrap this up, let's talk about two sort of like general floor cleaning things. We're going to go into this in way more detail in future episodes, but it is a good idea to have a good vacuum. You don't necessarily need to have an expensive vacuum. And in fact, the Sweet Home, again, so I really rely on the Sweet Home because they're the best product recommendation people in the business, as far as I'm concerned. They have a great guide that they just updated to vacuums, and they have several sub $200 options that are very good. And in fact, as I was saying that I didn't love the Shark steam mop, which actually isn't specific to Shark. I just generally don't like steam mops. It just happens to be that the ones that I've tested in the past 2 years have been Shark models. But Shark actually has a great low-priced vacuum. I think it's about $129. That's a great price for a vacuum. It'll last you a good, 5 to 7 years, which is a good lifespan for a vacuum at that price. That's the Sweet Home recommendation. And the last thing to mention is that spot treating, so when you spill something on the floor, just getting a little all-purpose cleaner and a sponge or a rag or a paper towel and cleaning up is also a very, very good thing to do. It's a great way to sort of extend the time in between the getting down on the hands and knees. So
can we talk about the restraint I've showed?
Yeah.
Between hands and knees and facials?
No, the facial, I was really waiting for that one.
I mean, I don't want this to be an hour and 42-minute show. People got things to do. So I just figured, all right, let's just let these go.
Well, thank you for that. I really admire your restraint. And on that note, before he cracks, I think this is a good time for us to sign off. So that'll do it for this episode of Ask the Podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askthequeenperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards we're offering to our listeners. We would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thank you to you for joining us for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.